Good evening. How we doing? All right. It's good to get to be back here with you guys tonight. I want to start out tonight by giving the men in the room some material in case there's ever a time you want to impress the ladies. Men, are you interested in what I have for you? All right. You're going to be extremely disappointed. But guys, here's the deal. I'm going to give you some material that you can use to impress the ladies. You won't be able to use it on any lady in this room. And I apologize because I know sometimes these retreats, you know, you start feeling magical things. You get target lock on a certain girl on the retreat, and you're not going to be able to use this material on her. And here's why, because she's going to hear what I'm going to tell you, all right? But here's the only catch is that you have to kind of acquire a target with a specific taste, gentlemen. And it's got to be a girl who's really into science, all right? So on Monday, you can go back to your earth science class or biology, chemistry, kind of scope out the scene. Get target lock on one of them, and then move in, all right? Here's what I want to do. I want to give you some facts about creation, that if you drop some of these facts on a lady, it's a done deal, all right? Here we go. Check out some of these facts about creation. Here we go. Did you know that a caterpillar has 228 separate in distinct muscles just in its head? The girls' hearts are already beginning to beat fast. I love it. Check this out. This is practically a pickup line. Did you know that your own heart generates enough pressure as it pumps blood throughout your body that it could squirt blood up to 30 feet? Girls, tell me you wouldn't love it if a guy was like, baby, I'd squirt 30 feet of blood for you if you wanted me to. You just say the word. You just say the word. This is good. Guys, you better be writing this down. Here we go. Here's the next one, gentlemen. This is kind of cool. Did you know that there are about 3,000 different species of trees within 1 square mile in the Amazon jungle? Incredible. I know. Check this out. I don't know if you knew this, but plants defy gravity by drawing water upward from the ground into their stems and veins so that the entire plant can get water and live. Kind of cool. I love this one. Check this out. When they're building their webs, spiders can produce about 60 feet of silk in 1 hour. At the exact same time they produce a special oil on their feet that prevents them from sticking to their own web. Pretty incredible. Man, these girls, man, they are locked in, guys. Man, you better be writing this down. Here we go. This is kind of cool. And this, man, this will just seal the deal. Because when you approach the woman and you say one of these facts and she begins to get goosebumps because she is picking up what you're putting down. She is smelling what you're stepping in. Here's what you can tell her. You can say, baby, did you know that when you get goosebumps, the hair in your follicles is actually helping you stay warmer by trapping body heat? Men, you're welcome. Let's pray and get out of here and get you a date, shall we? All right. Hey, here's the deal. I don't know if you've ever paused and just thought about how incredible creation is, but if you ever just stopped and think about it, maybe I just get too easily amused, but when I stop and think about how some things in the world operate, sometimes it just blows my mind. Like I talked about giving birth yesterday, but this is a crazy concept. And I'm still sorry that I used the phrase shot out, okay? I immediately regret my decision. But this is just a phenomenal thing that one human being can actually grow inside of another human being. Isn't that crazy? And if you go to a doctor, the doctor can put jelly on the mama's belly and take a magic stick and rub it around on the jelly, and you can see a picture of a human being inside of another human being. Isn't that kind of cool? That's not cool? What is the matter with you people? Okay. All right. All right. How about this? Think about this in creation. I mean, there's probably 600 people in the room right now. And all 600 of us have different laughs. Isn't that kind of cool? Isn't that kind of cool? Yeah. So some of you guys in here, some of you guys have a snort to your laugh. Any snorters in the room? Okay. Some of you guys in here, some of you might be silent laughers. You know, you're silent, but you shake, you know? And then some of you guys have a killer combination of silence with a honk. It's like, okay. But we all have different kind of laughs. And that's just how creation works. Hey, so let me ask you this. I want everyone, eyes on me. Do you know why creation is so incredible? Creation is so incredible because the creator of creation is that much more incredible. We have an incredible creation because we have an incredible creator. And last night we started talking about Jesus. And we said that Jesus is the greatest individual that has ever existed. And last night we said one of the reasons that Jesus is the greatest individual who's ever existed because he wasn't just the man, he was the God-man. He was fully God and fully man at the exact same time. But one of the other reasons that he's one of the most, the reason that he is the greatest individual in the world is that he is the creator of all things. If you have a Bible, open back up with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Last night we talked about verse 15. Tonight we're going to talk about verse 16. Make sense? All right. Here we go. Here's what it says, verse 16. And I'll read 17 too. It says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Did you see how the verse started? It says, "For by him all things were created." We have an incredible creation because we have an incredible creator. I don't know if you've ever thought about Jesus as the creator of all things. I know growing up, I didn't really picture Jesus as the one who was creating things. I knew that God was a creator, but I never thought specifically about Jesus being the one through which things were created. But this verse and many other verses in the Bible are very clear that Jesus was the agent through which creation came into being. And look back at verse 16. Look how it ends, because at the end of the verse, it's going to make two very important claims for us. And these two claims, we're going to spend all night unpacking these two things. Here's what it says. It ends by saying, "All things were created through him and for him." So let's deal with the first one. The first one is this, is that all things were created through Jesus. Everything that is in existence or has ever been is because Jesus created it. Do you know what that means? Anything that you love in this world, Jesus was responsible for it. Anyone in here love video games? All right. Let me ask you this. Who do you think wired human beings with the creativity to invent gaming systems? Jesus. Anyone in here gotten swept up in Linsanity? You're Linsane in the membrane? If you're into Jeremy Lin, you know why? Because Jesus invented them. Anyone in here love Chick-fil-A? You know why we have Chick-fil-A? Because Jesus invented chicken and peanut oil. Praise Jesus. Anyone in here love music? I don't know if you realize, but Jesus isn't just responsible for the Christian artists. Like, he's not just like, these are my Christians over here. I don't know where they came from. Like, Jesus is the one who created T-Pain, Katy Perry, even Lady Gaga. And now, hey, listen up. Listen, I know. Hey, they might not be, not all of them might be doing what God has made them to do, but he is responsible for them. He's the one who created them. Anything in this world that you love came from Jesus. So if you're in here and you're struggling in your relationship with God, or you feel like your relationship with God is dry, or you feel disconnected from him, or you just don't have any desire for God, let me just encourage you, one of the best things that you can do is to just think about the things in creation that you love. Think about the things in creation that you love and then look past them to the one who created them. And worship Jesus with a heart of gratitude for the good things that he has done in your life. See, Jesus is the creator of all things, and that's very important. Because he didn't just create all the things in this world that you love, he created you. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but Jesus is the one who invented you. The first person who ever thought of you was Jesus. And get this, think about who you are inside. Jesus wired you internally. And now think about who you are on the outside. Jesus designed you externally. I'll say it again. Jesus is the one who has wired us internally, and he's designed us externally. Isn't that crazy to think about? Jesus is the one who invented us. And here's what you need to know. He was so careful in his thoughts of us. He didn't screw up. Nothing just happened where he was, he created all these people in the middle of the day when he was on his game, but then he didn't get to you until late at night and he was tired. And then the next morning he's like, oh, I don't know what I did. Sorry, my bad. It was never a surprise to Jesus who you are. When my son Noah was born, it was just kind of this, I don't know why I'm talking about birth so much, but I will never forget when my son Noah was born. I mean, I'm just sitting there ready, like, okay, come on, dude, come on out. And my wife is, and she's there, obviously. And then Noah, my son, comes out, and the doctor holds him up, and we have no clue what we're going to get. We don't know if he's going to be cute. We don't know if he's going to be not cute. We just have no clue. And the doctor holds him up, and I look at him, and I was like, oh, no. Because I looked, and his nose looked like it spanned all of his face, and I was like, God, you gave him my nose. Why have you forsaken me? And I didn't know. I mean, I was just so shocked in that moment. I was like, we're going to have to get him a nose job at like 1 year old, and we'll like make history, and it'll just be this crazy deal. And but here's the thing, like, we had no clue what we were getting. But Jesus knew exactly. He knew exactly what my son would be like because he designed him externally and he wired him internally. And that's exactly what he has done with us. I want to read you a verse that I've grown to love. It's Psalm 115, verse 3. Listen to the words of Psalm 115, verse 3. It says this: Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Did you hear what that just said? Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. You know what that means? It means that God only does what brings pleasure to Him. God only does what brings pleasure to Him. So when He created you, it brought Him great amounts of pleasure. The way that you are wired internally, the way that you are designed externally, brings God great amounts of pleasure. And I just think about when God was creating each one of us, if He's created you to be funny, I just imagine God in heaven forming you and just cracking up laughing, thinking about the things that you would say and do 15, 16 years after you were even born, and just Him being filled with pleasure, just thinking, I cannot wait until this guy is 18 years old and he says that or he does that. If God's created you to be artistic, I just imagine Him forming you and His heart being full of pleasure at the thought of the things that you would draw or the music that you would play. If He's made you to be athletic, I just imagine God forming you and being filled with adrenaline, thinking of the games you would win or the plays that you would make, and He was just so full of joy and pleasure at the thought of you. If God has made you to be introverted or passionate or smart or sensitive or compassionate, you need to know that when God thought of you, He was full of pleasure. And when God picked out your eye color, and when God formed your hair, whether it's straight or curly, or whether it's thick or thin, and when He thought what shape your lips would be, and then when He carved out the curvature of your body and the definition of your calves, and the height He ordained how tall or short you would be, He was filled with pleasure because He wired you internally and He designed you externally, and how He has made you is completely pleasing to Him. You have been created through Jesus. Now I want all eyes on me. This is extremely important. The creator of the universe looks at you, and He has limitless amounts of pleasure for who you are. But I know that there are many people in this room who are extremely unhappy. And if I were to ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no life at all and 10 being life to the full, where are you at? I would imagine that there are many of you in here who would say, I'm probably at a 2 or a 3. And a lot of it is tied to the fact that you just hate who you are. You hate who you are. You look in the mirror and you hate what you see. You look at other people around you and you wish that you could be a little more like them and a little less like yourself. And something in you cries out for the world to place their stamp of approval on you and say, you are pleasing to me, and you're not getting it, and so you're unhappy. I just want you to know that I apologize for the world, because what the world says is lovely and valuable is something that none of us can ever attain. But the God of the universe looks at you and says, you are pleasing to me. You're pleasing to me. And if you're in here and you're struggling and you're unhappy, talk to someone tonight. Maybe tonight you can hear the God of the universe whisper to you for the first time, you are valuable and you are pleasing to me. All things have been created through Jesus. And then look at what the last part of verse 16 says. It says, all things have been created through Him and what? Read it. I want everyone to say it. All things have been created through Him and what? For Him. For Him. All things have been created for Him. You know what that means? It means that all of creation has been created and exists for God's pleasure. That means you exist. The only reason that you feel breath in your lungs right now, the only reason that your chest will inhale and exhale, is because God allows you to exist for His pleasure, to bring Him pleasure. Now that might sound kind of weird, and I want to make sure you understand that Jesus isn't prone to depression. He's not prone to depression, and so He's wired creation to be these little minions who try and bring Him pleasure as if He's on the empty side. His pleasure tank is full, empty at any given moment, so He's just waiting for creation to kind of fill Him back up. No, Jesus is perfect, and He is God. He's the inventor of pleasure, which means He always has limitless amounts of pleasure. Yet the Scriptures talk about us living lives that are pleasing to Him. The cool thing is that God calls us children of God, and because He calls us His children, He has limitless amounts of pleasure for us. We don't have to earn His pleasure. He already gives it to us. He's pleased with who we are, not what we do. Yet, for some reason, the Bible still talks about us living lives that are pleasing to Him. So you exist for His pleasure. Several years ago, one of the things that I get to do because I work at a church is I get to officiate weddings. Okay, and so the first wedding that I ever did, I wasn't married yet, but I was doing the wedding for one of my best friends, and it was here in Dallas. And so I stood up there and pronounced them husband and wife. And at the time, I was dating my now wife, and we were actually 1 month away from getting engaged. Now, let me ask you this. What if in the middle of their reception, the reception of my best friend's wedding, I go up to the DJ and I say, hey, dude, can I see that mic just real quick? Thanks. And he gives it to me because he's like, oh, this guy was the pastor of the wedding. He must want to like say a prayer. That's what pastors do. And so I take the mic and I'm like, attention, hey, we are so glad that John and Sarah got married tonight, and that was great. I just want to say something real quick. And then I turn and I call Catherine, my girlfriend at the time, out onto the dance floor. And I tell her that she's the most amazing woman I've ever met. And then I drop down on one knee and I tell her that I will love her better than any other husband ever could. And she's going to be the prettiest bride ever. She'll be prettier than any bride ever could be. And then I ask her in that moment to marry me. And then I say, hey, we really enjoyed celebrating John and Sarah's wedding. We're going to spend the rest of the night celebrating that Catherine has said yes to me. So let's get after it. What do you think the bride would do? She would donkey kick me right out the door. I mean, just straight up, get me out of there. But that's kind of what we do with Jesus. Because what is happening here on earth, this is His show. This is His life. This is all His. All creation is for His pleasure. But what we try and do is we try and step in and say, no, I want to make life about me. No, this life isn't about Jesus. This life is about me. And so instead of spending our lives trying to seek to please God, we try and find out what is pleasing to ourselves. And so at any given moment, we will ask the question, what will make me most happy? You know what will make me most happy is to date this guy, even though I know he's not the best guy for me to be dating. In this moment, what would be the most gratifying thing to me? Well, to look at pornography. In this moment, what will make me most alive? Well, it'd be to go out on the weekend and make some unwise decisions with my friends. In this moment, what will give me a peace inside? Well, I am experiencing anger and resentment and bitterness towards this guy or this girl who wronged me. And so I'm going to actually store that up and look for retaliation in them, then I'll experience peace. And so we make this life about ourselves, and we seek to find what's pleasing to ourselves instead of what's pleasing to God. You need to know that Jesus didn't invent us and say, okay, I got you this far. I got you here. You're welcome. Now go and see what you can do with yourself and for yourself. And then I tell you what, 60, 70, 80 years, we'll all rendezvous back in heaven and then we'll just share stories. Hey, what did you do on earth? Cool. Way to go. Now this life is about Him. You've been created by Him and for Him. You guys remember the TV show, and I know this was back in the day, and so some of y'all might not remember it. You remember a TV show called Pimp My Ride? You remember this? No? Okay, if you don't, I'll fill you in, but here's what this TV show was about. Pimp My Ride was a show where these guys...
Pimp a ride,
all right? But here's what that means. They would take kind of this old, beat-up car... And thank you. You guys are being so helpful, and I really appreciate that. So they would take this old beat-up car, and what they would do is that they would custom design it to the owner's pleasure. So they would custom design this car in a way that it would bring the most amounts of pleasure to the owner. So one guy loved ping pong, and so they were able to fit a ping pong table. They custom designed a pickup truck to fit a ping pong table in the back so this guy could play ping pong anytime he wanted to. And then one dude was really into fish, like he loved pet fish. And so they made a way to have a fish tank right behind the driver's seat. So it was like him, pet fish. So anywhere he went, he could have a pet fish with him. One guy loved, he probably did have to feed him, yes. I mean, it wasn't like a special fish, like he runs off the gasoline in the car, you know, that's not how it works. But one guy loved video games, and so they actually designed a car to where when he opened his trunk, there would just be a flat screen and gaming system, so he didn't have to go inside to play. He could just pop his trunk and be like, what's up, Mom? Play right there in the driveway. Sweet action. Now here's the deal. I don't know if you realize it, but you have been tricked out by Jesus. You have been tricked out by Jesus. You are a custom designed human being. He has wired you internally and designed you externally. You are made according to His design plans that will bring Him the most amounts of pleasure. You've been tricked out by Jesus for His pleasure. You're no accident. You are no accident. So do you know what it looks like to live life in the background? It means that you spend this life trying to figure out what is pleasing to God instead of what is pleasing to yourself. I'll say it one more time. Living in the background means finding out what pleases God instead of what pleases yourself. I don't know if you guys have ever memorized Scripture. I don't know if you've ever thought about having a verse that you want to live your life by, but I want to give you one tonight. Let me read you what 2 Corinthians 5:9 says. It says this, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. You know how I said the goal of your life is to bring God pleasure? Well, this word aim, it also means goal. So the goal of your life, Paul is the one who writes this thing. He says, we make it our goal, we make it our aim to please Him. I want to end by asking you guys to think about something. And I don't need you to interact with me. I just want you to think about something. Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, you're going to have to go back and you're going to go to school and then you might have sports and all that. Let me ask you, considering the circumstances that you're going to be back at school or back at sports, what would a perfect day look like for you? See, I think for most of us, a perfect day for us, considering the circumstances, is that we would get up and we'd be able to get dressed, or we might get a shower in depending what time we wake up. We might not. And if we make it to school on time, that's a good thing. If we're able to get up early enough to get some of our homework done so we don't have late work, well, that's a good thing. And then we'll get into class, and then we'll just kind of zone out the majority of the day. And then we'll sit with our friends at lunch. And then once we get done with class, then we'll go to sports, and hopefully we'll have a good practice. Or you'll go home and you'll eat a snack or whatever you do. You'll play video games for a little bit, and then you'll crank out your homework or some of your homework, or you'll at least tell your parents that you did your homework even though you didn't, and then you'll get ready for bed. You might eat some dinner. You probably will eat dinner, and then you'll go to bed. What if your day could be different? What if you woke up in the morning? You remember last night how I told you that Jesus, the greatest individual of all time, is with you every moment of every day. Every moment of every day, you are in the presence of the greatest individual of all time. What if I added on to that and I told you that Jesus, the greatest individual of all time, is with you at every moment of the day, but not just that, He has planned out every moment of every day for you. So when you wake up and He's in the room with you, He wakes up just overflowing with excitement, like, you're finally awake, let's talk. Like, let's spend time together. What if you could wake up and the God of the universe could just whisper to you, I am pleased with you. I am overflowing with joy and desire and passion for you today. Let's get going. I have great things planned for you. And then you go to class. And instead of just zoning out, you say, I want to make it my goal to please Him. And something's different about you. You're more respectful to teachers. You begin to enjoy a little bit more of the stuff that you're learning, and people begin to take notice. They say, there's something different about you. And then you go to lunch, and because God has wired you potentially to be a compassionate person, you and your friends, you see someone who's sitting by themselves, and they're sitting by themselves, and Jesus whispers to you, hey, why don't you engage them? And so you're really nervous, but kind of like today, you go and engage someone, and it makes their day. And you know God is pleased. And then you go through your classes, and then you go to your athletics, and Jesus whispers to you, hey, play and practice to please me. And so you act differently. You drop a pass. You do something not great. And instead of beating yourself up, you respond positively, and people begin to notice. They begin to ask you, hey, what's different about you? People begin to wonder about the Jesus that you're displaying to them. And then you go home and you sit around at the table with your family, and when they ask you, how was your day? You don't have to just say, it was good. You can actually tell them, let me just tell you, of all of the great things God did in my life today, here's just a few. And then at night, you sit down to do your homework, the thing that you hate, and Jesus whispers to you, hey, seek to please me. And even in the midst of your homework, you experience some joy getting through it. I mean, what if your day could be different because the author of the universe is with you at every moment, and He has planned for you to have these conversations and these experiences where you actually display Christ to the world? The cool thing is that when you seek His pleasure, you actually experience fullness of pleasure. If you want to feel fully alive, the best thing you can do is to live for His pleasure. I just want to ask everyone in here to close your eyes. I know there's a lot of energy in this place tonight, and I know we're all kind of sitting cramped, but I just want to ask you to take one moment and to answer this question in the quietness of your own heart, all eyes closed, just so you can focus. Don't talk to your friend. You're going to be out of here in just a minute. Please don't talk to your friend, and just talk with the Lord right now and answer this one question. What is one thing? What's one thing that Christ is saying to you tonight? What is one thing He is whispering to you? Maybe you've made your life about seeking your own pleasure instead of His. Maybe He's identifying to you ways that you're seeking your own pleasure instead of His. Talk to Him about it. Maybe you're unhappy with who you are, and you're realizing tonight that the God of the universe takes pleasure in you. Talk to Him about it. Maybe instead of just having an ordinary day on Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe you have an extraordinary day because you live life every moment in the presence of the greatest individual of all time. Talk to Him about it. Ask Him for that. Lord Jesus, thank You that we've been created through You, and we've been created for You, God. Help us to be people who experience pleasure because we live for Your pleasure, God. I pray that we would be people, Lord, I pray that there would be people as young as in sixth grade who would say, would echo the words of Paul, and they would say, I make it my aim to please Him. I pray that that would be the cry of our hearts. We make it our goal. We make it our aim to please You, Lord God. That's what it's like to live in the background, Lord. Help us to be people who live life in the background, seeking to please You instead of ourselves. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.